Beyond Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is the episode for Tuesday, November 7th, and it is election day. So if you're somewhere where there is voting today, go ahead and do that. This is your host, Matt Shook. I'm with you for a daily Detroit Pistons podcast for the 7-3 Motor City Boys right now. And I'm excited about today's podcast as we have a very special guest from ESPN's 538.com, Nate Silver's micro site that analyzes politics and sports through numbers and other parts of culture and society as well. A writer for that site, Neil Payne, will be joining us. He wrote an interesting piece that published on Monday titled, "The Pistons Might Actually Be Good." So we'll get into him with that and what are some of the indicators as to why he feels like the 7-3 start might be sustainable or something close to 7-3 anyways, maybe a definite playoff team like we talked a little bit during the preseason. But the Pistons will continue their five-game homestand on Wednesday night with a game against the Indiana Pacers at Little Caesars Arena in downtown Detroit. Friday night, the Pistons will be favored once again against the lowly Atlanta Hawks. And then Sunday afternoon, the homestand will conclude with a 4 o'clock game against the Miami Heat. That'll be after a Lions home game at 1 o'clock against the Cleveland Browns. So downtown Detroit should be bustling this weekend. And after that, the Pistons will be going on a road trip for a rematch against the Milwaukee Bucks. And then they'll play Indiana again after that, and then Minnesota to clean up that three-game road trip there. So a lot of winnable games on the horizon for a Pistons team that I'm really hoping to bank wins with a soft part of the schedule here and certainly some tougher parts of the schedule coming down the road. Although in the Eastern Conference, there's a lot of winnable games on that schedule really from top to bottom. So we'll see there. I want to tell you guys once again about the Draft app and also draft.com, which is the same company there. Go ahead and sign up and use promo code LOPISTONS, all in capital letters, to set up your account. You can follow me on the app at Matt Shook, all one word, Matt, and then S-C-H-O-C-H, and we'll get you set up in the Draft Wednesday special contest that we'll have this Wednesday through Locked On Pistons. It's the best daily fantasy app that I've ever used. And then this Wednesday, when we have our game, you can actually draft Pistons as they'll be playing on Wednesday night at home against the Pacers. So they'll be taking on Indiana. A lot of stats to be had for Andre Drummond and the boys there. We'll have the draft at 6 o'clock Eastern, but you can auto-rank your players and pre-draft if you prefer to do that instead. So a lot of options to join us on the Draft app and also the Locked On Pistons. If you aren't able to get into ours or don't want to, there's also Locked On Network special drafts that are national that you can play with fans throughout the country. We had this going last week. We had a fun group of Pistons fans that played, and some people won money there. So obviously a great chance for you to join us and have some fun and get back into the NBA a little bit. That's what I'm finding from people that I've coaxed into joining us on the app is that, hey, you know, I've gotten text messages from a couple friends actually who said, you know, I'm not really into the NBA as much right now, but it was fun to follow, and it was fun to check out the highlights on ESPN and to follow on Twitter throughout the night to hear how my guys were doing. And, you know, that's what we're going for, because the Pistons have obviously been in a dry spell for the past few years. And as they come back, we got to be learning about some of these other top players around the league and how the Pistons stack up and, you know, what the matchups are throughout the league, what you should be watching for on a typical Wednesday night or Thursday night throughout the league. And I've also heard from other people through the app that they've checked out some other, you know, drafts and other sports. You know, they got NFL Fantasy on Sundays as well. So an easy app, a fun app, and a way to win some money. So speaking of the Pistons getting to be better, we're going to be joined by Neil Payne of 538.com to talk about whether this start is for real.
Yes, sir!
All right, and as promised, we are joined by Neil Payne of 538.com, the ESPN micro site started by Nate Silver a little while back. Neil, first of all, thanks for joining us on Locked On Pistons.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, we saw your article from that was published on Monday afternoon titled, "Are the Pistons for Real?" And we'll get into that right away. It seems like that's kind of the question. Coming into the season, what was the consensus seemed to be that this was a fringe playoff team in the Eastern Conference? Coming in, was that what the models that you guys were looking at were kind of indicating where they were kind of coming into the year?
Yeah, I think that's about right. So we have this sort of model that tries to take into account each player's projected plus minus and then runs it through the schedule a bunch of times and spits out an expected record and also playoff odds and so on and so forth. And so before the year, we had the Pistons down for about 34 wins in our model going into the season and a 36% chance of making the playoffs, which I think is a little bit lower than Vegas had them. I think the over-under out in Vegas, and maybe you would know more than I would, was about, what, like 37.5 wins or 38 wins?
I think it was about 38.5. Yeah, 38.5, yeah. I believe, is what I saw mostly.
Right. So the stats were probably a little bit more down on them than even the eye test or the, you know, the consensus of opinion using kind of non-statistical methods. And so, you know, that's sort of where they had been the past handful of years, really, like whether it was in the Stan Van Gundy era or even in the years maybe leading up to that. So it seems like it was going to be a year of nothing more than the same of maybe, like you said, sneaking in as a fringe contender in the East, but not necessarily anything more than that as the best case scenario.
And now the Pistons are 7-3 after a nice start, and you've looked at a lot of the numbers beyond the record and the scores. What did you think, what did you guys come up with as far as this maybe being sustainable, and why is it that they've had this fast start?
Yeah, so right now, using that same model, we would project them to win 43 games and have a 68% chance of making the playoffs. And I believe in both categories, that's the biggest gain a team has had in since preseason to their projections. And so, you know, we think of 10 games as not being that much, not telling us that much because it's an 82-game season. It's really not that big of a sample. But in basketball, you learn a lot about a team and how good they are really quickly. For instance, research that I've done shows that 10 games in the NBA is about the same as 10 games in the NFL. Each game kind of teaches you as much. It just so happens that in the NBA, they keep going past 16 games and they play 82 games. And so that does tell you a little bit about a team's record. And I found that teams that start the season going 7-3 end up winning about 50 games on average when all is said and done in the season. And even ones that had been under 500 the previous year still go on to win about 45 to 46 games on average at the end of the year. So that's a pretty big gain, and you see that in the projections too. And it's been justified by, I think, how well the Pistons are playing also. So it's not just kind of a soft 7-3 start, but they beat the Golden State Warriors on the road. They beat the Clippers on the road, and they beat the Bucks just this weekend. So these are some quality wins over teams that we would consider to be good teams. It's not just kind of a stretch of weak opponents that they've been feasting on.
Yeah, so some encouraging numbers there for Pistons fans to digest so far. But looking forward, say for the next chunk of 10 games, what are some of the things that you might look at as key indicators that, you know, even if they go through a little bit of a slide or go 5-5 or even 4-6, 3-7 over the next 10 games, what are some other advanced numbers that folks might look at to say whether, you know, the season's going downhill or whether this is kind of a thing that might be sustainable over 82?
Well, I think the really big thing to keep an eye on is the offensive efficiency. So right now at Basketball Reference, the Pistons ranked 9th in the league in offensive rating. And last year, they ranked 24th in offense. They were 8th in defensive rating, so solid defensive team, but just couldn't get anything going on offense. And a lot of that had to do with Andre Drummond and Reggie Jackson just not playing to their potential. The offense was especially bad when Jackson was on the floor, to the point that, and I don't need to tell your listeners this, but like Ish Smith was getting serious talk about being, you know, the permanent starter at point guard. And so both of those guys have played so much better this season, and in conjunction with other players also playing better, that it's fueled this offensive resurgence. So that's the thing that I would keep an eye on, is just, can they keep that offensive pace going? Because I think the defense is solid, continues to be solid. And I mentioned this in my story that there are stats that can actually kind of track based on where shots were taken from and who was taking the shots. Was it assisted, the, you know, type of shot, that kind of thing. How effective and efficient and defense should be in addition to an offense. And on the defensive end, the Pistons have actually gotten a little bit unlucky. Teams are making shots against them that maybe they shouldn't be making, or if you gave it a large enough sample, that it would regress toward a very good defensive field goal percentage that you're not quite seeing yet. And they still rank 14th on defense. So if anything, you would expect that number to get better. It's just a question of whether they can kind of continue to play this well offensively. And I think there's some certain subtle things in the way that, you know, Andre Drummond, for instance, has been playing that's different this year than last year that make it really give signs of hope that they will be able to continue to play this well offensively.
Yeah, and those defensive numbers provide some good hope that maybe even the Pistons are getting a little bit unlucky on that end. And some of the press clippings I've read this afternoon, encouraging stuff, obviously, you know, giving Pistons for props for what they've done over 10 games. The power rankings on every site seems to have their own NBA power rankings. The Pistons are way up on there. But your article was a nice way of showing what could happen going forward, and it's a nice look for Pistons fans. What about the Eastern Conference? Is there... I mean, we knew over a decade now, the Western Conference has been the powerhouse in the NBA, but it seems like this year in particular that with Boston having Hayward go down on opening night, Cleveland's troubles that they've had so far this year, is there an opportunity there for the Pistons to not only get over 500, get into the playoffs, but, you know, is there a soft middle there that the Pistons can maybe enter as far as the Eastern Conference playoff race that's possible for them?
Yeah, everything is so topsy-turvy in the East right now with, like you mentioned, the Celtics losing Hayward on the opening game of the season, and then the Cavs just being in kind of utter disarray. And we've seen this movie before in some ways where, you know, I think you have to give the Cavs the benefit of the doubt that they'll be able to turn it around before the season is over. But by the same token, I don't think that they've had a stretch where they've played quite this poorly, quite this early in the season, even in the past when they've kind of befuddled the statistical rating systems and, you know, flipped the switch when it came to be playoff time. I think there are legitimate concerns there, and they're probably going to continue to be concerned until Isaiah Thomas comes back and until, you know, they kind of work through some of their issues that they're trying to make it past. And like you said, that does give you sort of the soft middle of the East. In fact, actually, I don't think the whole conference is the top of the conference is the soft middle now, because, you know, it did seem like the Boston and Cleveland were going to form this kind of top tier that nobody could really break into, and then the next level was going to be where some teams like Detroit had hope of breaking in, your Torontos and your Washingtons and other teams like that might have seemed ripe for picking off. Now I think the whole conference picture is that soft middle, and so I don't think Detroit is the front runner to win the conference or to make, you know, a very deep run into it right now. As things stand, again, there's a lot of season left to go, but they've injected themselves into that conversation a lot more than anybody would have guessed just a couple weeks ago. So, you know, I think it's to Stan Van Gundy's credit for the way that the team has changed the way it's playing, and, you know, they're running a lot less post-ups. They're taking a lot fewer mid-range shots. They're kind of evolving, especially at the offensive end, into a team that's playing the style of basketball that I think is sustainable to really make noise in the Eastern Conference at a time in which it seems to be ripe for the picking.
And I think we've seen that from Pistons eras of the past where they kind of sneak up at a time, and I remember the Jerry Stackhouse teams went up to the middle of the Eastern Conference, made a couple of deals, and launched the whole Ben Wallace and Chauncey Billups era. So it's possible if the optimistic Pistons fans are seeing that Eastern Conference and seeing, you know, possibly LeBron departing from the East and some other things going on in the future, that there could be an opening there for a team to step up. You think that kind of thing might be a possibility, that several years down the road that this group of young guys could grow and a couple of tinkers and a couple of moves, that there might be some even bigger seasons ahead?
Yeah, I mean, maybe, you know, you mentioned the possibility of LeBron leaving Cleveland. I think, you know, nobody knows what's going on in LeBron's long-term plans, but that's a rumor that I think we've all heard a lot, and that would really change the complexion of the Eastern Conference, just given the fact that it's basically been his domain for almost a decade consecutively in terms of his teams winning it in a row. So, yeah, you know, the Pistons, as currently constructed, kind of are who they're going to be in terms of the contracts that are on the books and the way the team is structured for not just this year, but the next couple of years. And maybe there's something to be said for continuity. And if you look at the other teams in the conference that might be vying for that long-term spot, you know, you're going to have the Wizards in there. You're going to have, you know, whatever the Raptors' long-term outlook is. The Hornets are another team that I thought would be better than they've been out of the gates, but that's another team maybe you look at going forward. And then, of course, You've got the Bucks, you've got the Sixers, you've got some of these up-and-coming teams. The Magic deserve to be mentioned in that group based on the way they've started. These are teams that might be rising up too and vying for that. But yeah, that the conference picture in the East is so, you know, topsy-turvy, like I said earlier, that, you know, I wouldn't rule out a team like Detroit, you know, ensconcing themselves in the top half of the conference, at least for the next couple of years, based on the way they've started. We just don't know what's going to happen from here on out in the Eastern Conference. And I think that's exciting, you know, for a conference that, like we had said earlier, had been so associated with one guy, with LeBron James just winning it year in and year out, and that still could happen. Again, the Cavs could figure everything out by the time the playoffs come around, and they have a history of, you know, coasting through the regular season and then flipping the switch once they get to the playoffs. But I think it's more in doubt this year than it's been in a long, long time.
Well, Neil Payne of 538.com, I want to thank you for joining us here on Locked On Pistons. So where can folks find you, and can you give us a quick rundown for folks that might not be familiar with the sports aspect of 538.com of what kind of NBA coverage you can expect on the site?
Sure. So you can find me at and all of my other NBA writers. We have a couple other full-time guys that really mainly focus on that. Chris Herring and Kyle Wagner and Nate Silver himself will also pitch in occasionally with some basketball stories. But you can find us all at 538.com. And what we really try to bring, kind of the sabermetric attitude and you know, that numbers-based and studies that are grounded in the numbers to basketball, and we also try to do a fair amount of, you know, analysis off of game tape. Chris and Kyle are really the experts at that, and so we want to kind of fuse all of it together. I think basketball is the area of sports where we kind of make the most focus. We also have a podcast that's called The Lab that you can find at iTunes and various other places where you find podcasts, and so yeah, we're really excited about the basketball season, and we're hoping to, you know, kind of do a lot of coverage as the season goes on.
Well, Neil Payne, the author of The Pistons Might Actually Be Good, which launched on Monday afternoon on 538.com. Thanks for joining us today, and I appreciate your time.
Thanks so much for having me. It was great.
So again, a big thanks to Neil Payne of 538.com. Give him a follow on Twitter and give him a shout out saying that you enjoyed the interview and thanks for having him on the Locked On Podcast episode for today. So that'll do it for the episode. The Pistons are back at home on Wednesday night against the Indiana Pacers, and then games Friday night against Atlanta and Sunday afternoon against Miami. Again, join us on the Draft app for Draft.com on Draft Wednesday, Locked On Pistons podcast contest there. Follow me at Matt Shook. All one word, S-C-H-O-C-H on the app. And then follow me on Twitter as well while you're in a following mood at Matt_ and then Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, and another underscore after that. So thanks for following all those directions there, and have a great day, everyone.